Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And we're in Jeremiah chapter 31. We're at the end of chapter 31. And Jeremiah is referring to future times. He's taking a small detour here from chapter 31, verse 31 to the end of that chapter into future things and promises made. He's talking about what would happen at the end of the 70th week and when the Messiah showed up on the scene and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the promises made then. And he continues with that here in verse 35. He says, "Thus saith Yahuwah, the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahuwah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me," and we discussed that, that is an impossibility. He said, "I will also cut off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahuwah." He says that Israel shall cease from being a nation before me. But he's comparing that to impossibilities. He's saying it is impossible for this to happen. And Israel continues today. And it continued then. The posterity of the obedient who fled. No, they were not called Jews. So those people that today that somehow believe that by identifying themselves as Jews today, the messianic leaders, the Gentile leaders of the messianic movement out there who have renamed themselves with Jewish names and are carrying a following after way after themselves. Well, there's only one reason that they would rename themselves with Jewish names and proclaim their Jewishness is because they believe that somehow by virtue of their genealogy that they're better than other men. That's right. And that they're better in the sight of our Heavenly Father. Don't fall for that nonsense. That's a deception. The Scripture plainly states that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahuwah, the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot. Do not trust in the arm of flesh. It is a deception. Jesus, Yahshua, plainly refers to them that call themselves Jews that are not. The fact is, they don't know, but our Heavenly Father knows. Yahuwah says that He will preserve them. He knows who they are. Though they, in obedience, they fled Judea. That's right, because the obedient ones did not stay in Judea. They did not continue to be known as Jews. Yes, they may have been, you know, Hebrews who followed the way or the Messiah. Derogatorily called Christians at one point. And they came to be known as other things too, but they were followers of the Messiah. That's right. Throughout history, they had different names, but they were not called Jews. And they were the posterity of the obedient. And even if we don't know our heritage, we don't know, and most of us, it's an impossibility for us to know. Even those who are assured that they are Jews. You have your Sephardic Jews in Israel, and then you have your majority Ashkenazim Jews in Israel. The Ashkenazim, they willingly admit that they are not Semites, though they may be and they may not be, because they really don't know. They may have some Semite blood mixed up in them, and they may not. I may, and I may not. You may, and you may not. We just don't know, because those people, the obedient, fled because of the instruction of the Messiah. He gave them instruction. They fled because they were obedient to His instruction. And they carried the gospel to the ends of the earth. Our Father had a plan, and that was part of His plan. It's obvious. I mean, I'm not speculating here. This is directly from the Scripture. This, I believe, is rightly dividing the Word of God. Jeremiah confirms it. That's why I'm bringing it up here. From chapter 31 to the end of that chapter, he confirms it. He confirms what we read, what the Messiah said, what Daniel said in his prophecies, how it was fulfilled, the events in the time of the Messiah at the end of the 70 weeks leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. It's all confirmed. It's all history. Prophecy unfolded in history. And that's how it continues. He continues, verse 37, "Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahuwah." Like I said, an impossibility. "Behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananiel to the gate of the corner, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill of Gareb, and shall compass about Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto Yahuwah. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever." And, you know, this would refer to not a third building of the temple and restoration of the city by the hands of man, because the work of the hands of man is always plucked up and thrown down. They build it up, it gets plucked up, it's thrown down. No, this is the final building, the temple that comes down out of heaven, that is referred to or revealed to us in the book called the Revelation. That's what this is a reference to. So Jeremiah starts in chapter 31, in verse 31, he starts talking about the promises to come. And he ends this chapter in verse 40, talking about the ultimate promise to come. And that is that which will be in the time after the resurrection, when the Messiah, typified by the great mountain, strikes the image of the times of the Gentiles, or the times of the nations, Nebuchadnezzar's beast image, strikes it in the feet, obliterates it, and it becomes like the chaff which the wind drives away. And his kingdom, striking the image in the foot, or in the feet, fills the whole earth. And the Revelation tells us there will be a new Jerusalem that will not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more, forever. Forever. Jeremiah, chapter 32, and verse 1. "The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahuwah in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar." Now, Jeremiah jumps back into his prophet to the nation Israel shoes here. He puts on that hat, so to speak, and he continues prophesying to national Israel of his day. He says, "The word came to him, the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem." So they were in the siege. It's the same thing that happened the second time, the desolation, which the abomination which maketh desolate. It happened again. Right? Spoken of by Daniel the prophet, remember? It would happen again. What was spoken of by Daniel the prophet? Well, this was it. This was part of it. Because they lost their liberty. They would not submit to King Nebuchadnezzar, as the prophet told them, that they were being punished for their sins, so being put into servitude. They rejected the prophet. They wanted the false prophets to prophesy to them smooth things, and said, you don't have to send tribute to the king of Babylon. In 2 years, Yahuwah, God, is going to free us. Yes, they prophesied falsely in his name. And now they were besieged. Yes, they had a walled city. Jerusalem was a walled city, and they were defending it. And they were compassed round about, as it was in 70 AD, round about by the armies of Babylon. So that's the situation. That's the picture. That's the scene. The king of Babylon's armies besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah king of Judah had him shut up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy, and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city unto the hand of king of Babylon, and he shall take it. So you know what Jeremiah was saying, and why the king was wroth with him, because it wasn't what he wanted to hear. He'd already angered the king of Babylon. He came back to take care of his rebellious ward, so to speak. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not... Okay, now, yes, he continues, Thus saith the Lord, Zedekiah, king, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy, and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city unto the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes, and he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, saith Yahuwah. Though he fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. And Jeremiah said, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, By thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy. Okay, you have to understand the legal aspects in Israel of holding land and passing land and inheritance and so forth. So Jeremiah says, The word of the Lord came unto me, Behold, Hanamel is going to come unto thee, saying, Buy my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came into me in the court of the prison, according to the word of Yahuwah, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Your uncle's going to come. He's going to tell you to do this. And so his uncle came and did it, and told him to do it. So he knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence, and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. Made the transaction legal according to the law of Moses. So I took the evidence, and the purchase both, that which sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And the word Jews there in the Hebrew is the Yahudi, because they were the people called by his name. So before all the Yahudi, or some people say Yahudim, but there our good friend Strong's has it pronounced out phonetically as Yahudi. So before all the Yahudi that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. So put them up for storage, in other words. You know, they put them in a vault, like you would put something in a safe today. You know, remember the Dead Sea Scrolls? They found them in what? In clay pots, in vessels that were sealed up. Because that's what they did to preserve, you know, their writings and records. So they sealed the evidence, and they put it in an earthen vessel that it may continue many days. And that was to preserve it. For thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Jeremiah was going to get it. I just got that. Did you get that? Jeremiah wasn't taken away captive. From his possession, which he possessed here, which he purchased here, because he was in line, according to the law of inheritance, to possess it, to redeem it. He redeemed it. He purchased it. And he made a record, and it was put in an earthen vessel. And from that place, he wrote these letters to all of the captives. Remember, we've been reading that, how he was instructed to write to the captives in Babylon, or wherever they were taken away captive. They got his letters, much like Paul wrote his letters from prison, and they were distributed to the churches. You see how our Heavenly Father, he pretty much sticks to an MO that works successfully. Yes, you see these parallels. So, we got a little more insight there into the life of Jeremiah after the abomination and the desolation of Jerusalem and the city and the temple. A little more insight there. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, and we're in chapter 32, verse 15, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord Yahuwah, Yah Adonai, Yahuwah, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness and unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Yahuwah of hosts is his name. So here Jeremiah breaks into praise with this word of the Heavenly Father, and he gives thanks for the word that the land and the fields and the vineyards shall be possessed again. And he says, Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. What a beautiful and worshipful praise he breaks into here. Nothing too hard for thee. Loving kindness unto thousands. And here's a reference back to a statement that is made smack in the middle. You go to Exodus chapter 20, and you'll read there the Ten Commandments in their entirety. And right in the middle of it, you find this phrase that is much similar to this, that he showeth loving kindness unto thousands, and it says that love him and keep his commandments. That's what it says in Exodus chapter 20. But here, Jeremiah says, Thou showest loving kindness to thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosoms of their children. And he says, and a similar statement, it says, to the third and fourth generation of them that hate thee. So Jeremiah is saying it here just a little bit differently, but he's really repeating and verifying what is said right in the middle of the commandments. So that the iniquity of the fathers is imputed to the children and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate them, as opposed to showing loving kindness and mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. See my Exodus study if you want a breakdown on that chapter. It's there at my website, crosstheborder.org. So do take advantage of that. Yes. The great, the mighty God, Yahuwah of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And you know, there is an exception to that. And I believe in this life that truly there is no exception to that, because we will reap what we sow in the flesh. Even after we've received the Messiah, even if we are washed clean by the blood of his blood of our sins, so that they're not imputed to us forever, I believe we'll still suffer the consequences of our sin in the flesh. And I see this truly as demonstrated And the most notable demonstration of this was the life of David, who Yahuwah, God, called. He called him a man after my own heart. He wrote the beautiful and wonderful Psalms, but also at the same time, David greatly sinned in that he committed murder and adultery in taking the wife of Bathsheba after he murdered the wife of Uriah the Hittite after he murdered him in battle. But first he committed adultery with her. So adultery and murder was a sin, not taking Bathsheba as his wife. That was not a sin. That was according to the law, although he went about it the wrong way. But he was punished dearly for his sin of adultery and murder. A terrible, terrible thing that he did. But he still, the grace of our Heavenly Father and forgiveness, washed away, made him clean and white as snow in the resurrection. But still he suffered the consequences in his flesh during his mortal life for those sins, in that the sword never departed from his house, from his own household. It never departed in his whole life. It brought such a great strife in his own family, and murder and animosity between his own sons and daughters and his own household. So he suffered terribly, and he saw the death of his sons. It was terrible. So, you know, don't think that you can sin and get away with it. Yes, you may be washed clean if you repent, and if you continue in his word, and if you endure till the end in his kingdom. That means you stay in his kingdom until your grace, mortal existence, that first grace period that was given to all men and granted to Adam and his seed, that grace period that ends with your mortality. Yes, and then you can receive that additional grace that only came by his son, Yahshua, Jesus the Messiah, that allows us to enter into, by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, that allows us to enter into his kingdom and live forever, that gives us the right to be called the sons of God. But still, we can be assured that we will suffer the consequences of our sin in this life, in our flesh. And yes, we should fear that. Absolutely. That is something to fear. I hope that I will add no more to the consequences that I have to endure. And well, we'll pick up here with those sobering comments. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back for the next hour. Visit my website, send me an email there, and stay tuned for the rest of Cross the Border.